Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the Fatback Four for this Sunday night from the LFC Day Trippers in association with Failicon, our new charity partner. We will talk about them later on in detail because I want the lads to have a word about it. And in particular, Sean, he's going to have a fucking word with everyone about this because he's good at that shit. Palace 1, Liverpool 3 from Selhurst Park today. A big win for Liverpool, 3 more points, capitalising on City dropping some points at Southampton yesterday and giving ourselves a squeak, an absolute squeak, but we'll have a look at it as we go on throughout the show. Kev, Keith, Shawnee, you're all very welcome. Shawnee, I'm coming to you first because Keith is trying to stay on mute for the first 4 minutes of this show because his wife decided to put on the washing machine and he's having a good gander there to see the clock and it's still at 4 minutes. So Shawnee, I'm going to come to you first. Initial thought, Shawnee. Are you just taking wins as they come? You don't really give a fuck because that's the way I am at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's kind of with the way the Premier League has become in terms of you want to win it. Like, there's no business end of the season anymore. It's always business. Like, you know what I mean? So you can't really afford to drop points at any stage. Like, especially yesterday with City dropping points. Look, I think this weekend was a big one because when I looked at the fixtures this weekend, I saw, obviously, I was expecting City to win away at Southampton, but you see West Ham are playing United, Chelsea are playing Tottenham, and Arsenal are the only ones sorted with a kind of a gimme with Burnley, and you're kind of looking at the top six in the table and you're thinking, right, everybody's playing each other here, so this is an opportunity to gain points on somewhat where you consider rivals, because look, you don't want to get dragged into that mess that's about to unfold behind us, I feel. Yeah. And you kind of want to keep City honest, and I think after the draw yesterday, keeping City honest was a big thing. And it's a weird one because, like, Selhurst, there's obviously demons there from 13-14, but it's actually been
and
a happy
and the commentators hunt. Let us know about it every 4.5
Yeah, it's been, yeah, exactly, and it's been a happy hunting ground since. I think Klopp's won every game he's had there, so it's the most undodgy of dodgy grounds that we have. Like, we always seem to get the result there, and we can make it difficult at the best of times. And that's what I was going to be today, because to be honest with you, the bit I've seen of Palace this season, I've actually been impressed. I feel like they're one of the more unlucky teams in the Premier League with giving up goals late on in games, and they seem a bit gun-shy, but they seem to play a good brand of football, and Vieira does seem to be getting a tune out of whatever's there. Like, their normal perennial hangers around of the relegation zone, sort of, just to be safe. But they do look like they'll kick on. So I was expecting a tough game today, and that's how it turned out.
Yeah. Kev, I'll come to you because me and Chris done the post-match show earlier because you decided to go to the pub, and we literally told you, don't come back to the pub, stay there. We have it covered because you went for Guinness, and we're not, like, after what's gone on in Ireland for the last 22 months, you're well entitled to get on the pub today. But what we were saying was, is that, you know, we get into the game and stuff, but Palace never give up. They usually would give up against Liverpool, and they never give up. And Vieira's kind of brought, instilled this thing at them that they go till the end. And he had a hard task when he took over from Hodgson because of the amount of players that of a certain age that were looking like they were out of contract and stuff like that. But, you know, they stuck at it and stuff like that. It's a big win there. I think that's a big win there today after what's gone on during the week with us as well.
It is. I mean, anytime you come, you know the way the games are at the minute, that they all come in blocks. This is the last game of the Christmas block. So with the way January was expected to be an absolute nightmare with everyone going away, January's actually been pretty good to us. And you talk about Palace with Vieira. The job Vieira has done, when he went into Palace, yeah, he had an ageing squad and a lot of those players left. But the ones that were still there had been drilled by Hodgson into a certain way of playing over a good long time. And he's gradually changed that to a side now that play out from the back, they're confident, they're young, and they're brave on the ball. And those are the type of sides that, you know, they've got. Today was a free hit for them, especially for the younger players. And they did well for the chunk of the game that they had. And that was a potential banana skin for us, especially with the fact that we played on Thursday night. It was more or less the same side that went out again, and it was the end of a long run of games without much change in the side. So it was it was one of those, just give me 3 points, don't give a fuck how you get it. Just give me 3 points, and we'll just go away on our break and come back again refreshed.
Good stuff. I'm going to test this now to see if we're okay. But Keith, first question is, what top is that you have on? A couple of people have asked. And secondly, are you just taking these results as they come? Just take them and go, because like Kev said, we play Thursday night. It's more or less, it's one change from Thursday night, I think, in the lineup. And sometimes you have to just go, not play our best, score 3, win the game. That's it. Good luck.
Enough about the game, Gav. It's Boca Juniors 81 jersey that I have on. Nice. Maradona special number 10. Great bit of kit, but I had it on the other day and I was getting loads of stick. My mates were all saying, you're wearing a tip jersey. People elsewhere around the world won't understand that. So they've absolutely rubbished me top. So I said, fuck that. Getting it on again. So yeah, Boca Juniors 1981. Adidas original special. So the match, you take the wins as they come. You take all the points as they come along, no matter what way they fall. But, you know, we've had a tricky period. Do you know what I mean? Like, people were looking at this as a chance for Liverpool to really fall away in the title race. And with the lads at AFCON and, you know, injuries and things like that creeping up on us, to get where we've gone, no matter how you get there, once you get there, then place yourself to give yourself a chance. It's all you can ask for. And I just think, you know, this team, we maybe don't credit them enough. You know, Man City are a phenomenal team. We all know that. They slipped up yesterday. But the gap between us and the rest, you know, us two and the rest is huge. And even if we're not going to play well and still churn out a 3-1 win, we'll take that every day of the week. Do you know what I mean?
It's, you know what? I thought we were good. For certain parts of the game, I just thought there was periods in it where we just, there was two certain periods in it, which I'll get into later, where I thought we just...
The whole last hour of the game.
Yeah, no, well, I thought there was a period where we switched off.
The whole time Jamie Carragher opened his mouth.
And then there was another period where we just didn't manage things at all. But, Shani, I'll come back to you, because the lineup, like we said, is one change from Thursday. Kay Gordon goes out, Oxlade-Chamberlain comes in, and he's gone... Keller and Alisson, sorry, two changes, apologies. Alisson comes in, sorry, my apologies. And he's clearly said, right, listen, we have a break now to Cardiff. One more big effort here. Off the back of the Southampton and Man City result the night before. Let's go for it. Let's see what we can get. And I was delighted with the lineup, Johnny. I really was. I didn't want them to try mess around with that and I go, will I do Kay Gordon again? I didn't want to do that. I wanted to see exactly what he put out there today, because it just shows that, look, I don't care. All of them players on the pitch now, and we have to go and try and win this.
Yeah, and I think the approach to the game, you look at the, we're absolutely brilliant for the opening 25-30 minutes. We're creating chances at will. We're pressing, there's intensity, there's players getting torn in midfield. I thought Robertson, as good as I'd seen him for a long time, I thought he was unbelievable. Exactly. I thought Bobby was brilliant as well. Ball was sticking to him, he was popping up. This is only in the first half an hour, Gav. And yeah, then
30-35 minutes, yeah.
And then we do what we've been doing this season. We go 2-0 up and I don't know what the crack is. It's just the lack of game management is astonishing. I can't get my head around it. I don't understand how our approach. I understand trying to kill a game off, but like the chances we give them, they didn't even have to be good to create chances.
I want to talk about that later, but let's go into the first part of the game, because Liverpool start really well and get that early goal. And Shawnee, it's a brilliant corner, it's a brilliant header, and we should be doing that more, shouldn't we? When you see how good a quality we have from dead ball and the sort of players we have, like a Virgil van Dijk, even a Fabinho, Matip, Canates, if he's on the pitch, big guys that are really good at headers, Jota included. But it was a lovely goal to see, wasn't it? And when you see it, you go, yeah, we needed that, because we're not doing enough of it, Shawnee.
Yeah, and Virgil has got a few goals for Liverpool, and he should definitely have more, but that's the first one of them headers he's had. Yeah. Proper bullet header. Like, they're normally glancing. That's a bullet. That's a bullet into the front stick. And you could see him turn around when he was celebrating, going, how was that? Because like, it seems like to me that is something that's discussed among the squad, that you should be doing that more often. And you could kind of see by his reaction that he was saying, how's that? Like, so is that more like a sort of thing? It's a brilliant ball. It's a brilliant set piece, Gav. It's a brilliant set piece. He pulls off all the traffic. He finds himself in space at the front post and he meets it like a steam train. And it's a great start. And you're thinking now when you're watching Liverpool, just take one of these early chances and you can get a foothold in the game. And that's how we play it out. It's a brilliant opener.
Reclaimer says 9 goals this season, were the top scorer from set pieces. If that's true, that's really surprising to me. Because I do look at Liverpool from set pieces and I go, we should be doing more. But the key to it for me was, when you watch a lot of Liverpool corners, Virgil van Dijk is probably between the penalty spot and the edge of the box and he's jostling and he's trying to get a little bit of movement. This one, he just makes a run early and he's just trying to attack space. And it's amazing how once he gets a little bit of room and the ball is in there, how free he can get. Because if you watch other corners and free kicks where Liverpool are attacking, the amount of people hanging out of Virgil van Dijk and blocking off his run and not letting him get any sort of run, never mind jump, is unbelievable. But that today was just quality movement, a brilliant header, because it's very easy to, you know, head them over, head them nearly back where they came from. But it's a really, really good header, and it puts us 1-0 up. And Kev, that's a real settler on 8 minutes, I think it was.
It was early, yeah.
It's a real settler. But Liverpool get right into a groove then. Liverpool are just like dominant from there. There's only one team in it, and they're absolutely all over Palace. And they get a second on 32 in Oxlade-Chamberlain, and it was no less than they deserved, wasn't it? Or no more than they deserved, sorry, Kev, because for all the play they had, they deserved at least two.
I mean, I'll be honest, I thought Palace were poor for the corner. The market was poor, very, very poor for a live Virgil, that kind of space. And then for our second goal, allowing Robertson time to pick his head up. And there was three or four in the box, and it was just a flat cross. Just, I think they were questioning Bobby being offside because he went for the ball. Mm-hmm. But Ox took it, and he took it down, slotted it away at 2-0. It was lovely. And the thing is, he's coming back from a knock as well. The first 35 minutes of that game reminded me of a fighter going into a world championship fight, knowing that I've got to do this early because I don't have the legs to go 12 full rounds. And it was very much along those lines that I thought with Liverpool. I thought they went hell for leather for the first half an hour to try and get the game done, because they didn't have it. They knew they didn't have it in the tank. to go toe-to-toe with Palace for 90 minutes or wait until the last 20 or whatever. It just felt the intensity that we were playing at was way above what I'd seen for a good while. And it was nice to see, obviously. But you could tell later on that it took a toll.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And you could probably see from Palace's lineup that they thought Thursday might take a toll because Palace load their bench with Benteke, IU, Eze, that they load their bench in that way. And when I looked at it, I said it to Chris earlier, when I actually looked at Palace's side, straight away I jumped out at me and I thought, these are hanging on here till 70, 75. I'm putting a big 15 minutes in to see exactly what they can get out of it. Keith, I come to you because we score on 32 and I think from 35 minutes till half time, we're all over the place. And this is what I think of it. I think we completely switch off and it's a case of it does become a bit too easy. And when it becomes too easy, we start making silly, silly mistakes. And it's highlighted by Matip, who just for no reason plays a ball across his box. And you can even see the way his body language as he hits it. It's a real case of, I'll just pass this over here. We're under no pressure whatsoever. That's nearly what's killing us, Keith. It's not footballers against us. It's we try to kill ourselves by completely switching off and thinking everything is so, so easy.
It's very un-Matip like, wasn't it? Joel is usually, they're usually carrying the ball. And anyway, he's never usually passing it, blind across the box like that. But I hear what you're saying, Gav. You know, we tend to, and I don't know if it's instruction to just get stuck in for half an hour and then sit back or whatever. But we don't seem to be able to play a full pelt for the whole half. Do you know what I mean? Like we always seem to have a down period where teams can get at us. And we were giving them chances. Do you know, we'll talk about the whole match later on, you know, but I think Palace were a bit overblown. You know, some of the dominance that they had, we didn't give up that many chances. The first half, we did give up a couple. But yeah, it was through our own sort of mismanagement of the game and the situation. You know, because if you're playing against a team that has like Edward and Matete, you know they're going to try and just hit them channels. They're going to be getting the ball over. And they had Olise as well, Conor Gallagher, even Will Yeo was playing the midfield. He was always an attack-minded midfield player, do you know what I mean? So they were always going to try and get players up high when they could, and we just let them have it, do you know what I mean? I think there is definitely something there that we're not dominating as maybe as we should do. But look, we've said it. You get the win, that's the important thing here, that you can get that win and see where you go. Because I just think Virgil, you know, he's not Superman. He's not superhuman. Take a world, come back from injury and things like that. And what we're getting out of him isn't 100% Virgil. It's maybe 75%, 80% Virgil. And, you know, that'll all take time. The fact that we're getting exposed a bit, I don't think Klopp is a stupid man or Pep Linders is a stupid man. Do you know what I mean? I think they know. They set the team out to play a certain way, but if you're going to give up sloppy chances, you're going to give teams an opportunity, and that's what we seem to have been doing. Teams aren't really breaking us down; they're sort of jumping on us when we're taking this little downtime that we tend to do every game, and we're not doing ourselves any favors with it. But you know, I don't know if I'm giving Klopp too much credit that he's a genius, that he's telling them, look, play shy for a few minutes, give them a chance,
yeah,
and then just put the foot on the throat and punish them again. Because it's every game. It's every game. We're just giving, we're being dominant in games, and then we're just taking that foot off, and teams are just getting into it, stuck into us. So,
but this is the thing, Sean, I'm going to ask you, because you said the word game management earlier, right? I don't think this is game management.
It is.
No. What I mean, listen, hear me out. Game management to me is when, say for argument's sake, they switch something over. Just say they switch wingers, right? And they decide, right, we're going to change our shape a little bit, and we're going to try to get maybe one of the forwards to drop into midfield. And we have to manage that. We go, right, this is what we should do. This is how we snuff this out. And we manage that situation as it goes. This to me isn't game management. This to me is completely switching off. And it's all done ourselves. Well, you know what I mean? Like, if we pass that ball around for the last 10 minutes of the first half, we have managed that well because our actions have spoken. We're just turning off, Sonny.
Game management is control, Gav.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We have control of the game. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
But when you see what Matip does, that's not a game management thing to me. That to me looked like somebody that got the ball turned and went, listen, this is all fucking grand. We're grand. No one's going near us. And it's just complete, nearly a disrespect for the game that's in front of them. That's what I feel it is.
Well, game management comes from when you're 2-1 up at 60, 70 minutes and they're getting in behind. Airline is getting higher. As the game goes on, it's getting higher and they're getting in behind. And you could see Alisson when Olise has the chance where he tries to dink and go, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
That's game management. That's game management.
Yeah.
And
I
that's
agree.
Control. And we don't control games. We don't control a game. This Liverpool side at the moment is closer to 13-14 Liverpool than it is 19-20. 19-20, we control games. We squeeze teams. We ring fenced. They're 11s by just moving the ball around. We just moved you, got you out of position, keeping the ball, just probing around the edge of the box. We're not really doing that anymore. Like we'll get on to the tour, to that pass to Trent from Jota. That's a facet of our play now. We've seen it at home to Arsenal. That's what gets Xhaka sent off. We see it the other night. That's what gets the second goal. And we've seen it today. That's where we get the penalty from. So that's a facet of the game. There's no control, Gav. The ball retention is fucking awful. It's piss.
Well, Chain Down says it's concentration levels. I think he's right. I think the concentration levels completely drop. And
Gav, it's concentration teams, and then the physicality. The midfielders haven't got the legs.
Yeah, but teams aren't changing things. Teams aren't changing things to affect us and make us manager, Shawnee. We're literally turning off and switching off, and then we're getting. Look. Matip gets that ball 20 times. Matip gets that. We are turning off. There's no doubt about it because Matip gets that ball 10 times in the first half, right? I don't know how many times he gets in that position. And he plays a pass, or he plays it into midfield, or he turns and plays to Alisson, or he moves with it, right? And that's all good. And then we go 2-0 up and bang. What happens? He turns and just completely drops concentration. I think Shane Downs is right. Concentration levels go and he just, not even looking. He's just going to play a pass across here. And do nothing. And the funny thing is, nobody is changing anything to affect us, Shawnee.
Games, though, Gav.
No, but that's what I'm saying is,
I'm not controlling football matches,
Shawnee.
Well, he was at the Brentford game last week.
Hold on, Keith. Are you telling me that Liverpool didn't control that game up to the first 35 minutes? Yes or no? Just a yes or no?
A game is 90 minutes, Gav.
No, hold on. Just a yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
For a game is 90 minutes.
So what happened for the last? No, hold on. What I'm saying to you is, this is what I'm saying to you. What do you think the trigger was for that game to change from 35 minutes onwards?
They were bollocks. We'd literally no legs in the midfield for the entire second half.
What do you think the trigger was?
There was no trigger. We were tired.
The trigger was Matip. I'm telling you now, the trigger was Matip.
Will you stop there, will you?
Palace. I'm saying in those games, game management is absolutely perfect. Brighton is the perfect example. What I'm saying is, today, Palace done nothing to make change our way we're playing and make us manage a game. What we done was we turned off and passed the ball for no reason and gave them a sniff. And that's when we're not managing the games.
Around the keeper before that.
Yeah, but I think the Matip one is the one that triggers it. I genuinely do.
But that happened before that.
Yeah, I know. I just don't see teams doing anything different against us to make us manager. I think we are bringing it upon ourselves.
That's my problem. The teams don't even have to be good now to get chances against us.
Because, and why are they getting the chances?
Playing percentage. Because they're playing percentage. No, what bollocks? There's no legs in the middle.
It's more air mistakes than anything else, I think.
And what's bringing on mistakes? Neither of our three midfielders were able to hold on to the ball.
Yeah,
today.
That's probably...
Trent is hacking at the ball from 70 minutes.
Yeah,
hacking at it.
There was a comment there earlier saying that a lot of people in the ground felt that... Trent in particular knackered from early on.
It was literally from 55. We had no control. Henderson is getting the ball lobbed over him all over the place. He's trying to make recovery runs and he hasn't got the legs. He's in treacle. Jones as well. And look, I get it because Henderson's not young. We've no control in the midfield. But everyone's going on about AFCON and missing Mane and Salah. We've missed Thiago more than anybody because Thiago was the one who literally goes, right, we're 2-0 up here. Keep the fucking ball for 10 minutes and let's walk them. The ball moves faster than anything else.
Yeah.
So we haven't
I was just fuming at the Matip one because it was so lax and so kind of, look, I'll just pass it over.
Virgil's been doing that all season.
Yeah, no, it just does me head in. And it's not us being asked questions and not being able to manage it. It's us giving ourselves problems and having to answer it. It's the source, I suppose, that's annoying.
Stop doing the little things. We stop wasting time. We don't do tactical fouls. We don't do. We get torn in midfield and we just let them go. We're too fucking nice.
Well,
and that's why we are where we are. That's where we are. Where we are. We're too nice. We get torn in midfield. What would get torn in midfield? What would KDB do? Clatter the man. No, stop the game. Let's get back and take our yellow.
Well, Fernandinho's made a career of it.
We don't do it. Exactly.
And yeah, Fernandinho has made a career.
And we didn't have to do it in 1920 when we won the league because we were so good and in control of all the games. Because we had a press-resistant midfielder that was able to take the pressure off of the ball. But we haven't actually got that now. The boys are hacking at the ball. I mean, it's fucking infuriating to watch. It's like a game of heads and volleys in the middle of the park to me, to you. Ball bouncing all over the shop. No control. We've missed Thiago more than that. And I can't wait for... Jones was the perfect tonic the other night. Look at him turning on the ball. He nearly got caught a few times today.
Yeah, he did.
But that's what you need, Gav. You need somebody who's willing to... Because Henderson hasn't got the legs anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's done, but he's literally in the red. He's in the red. We were bollocks from 55 on. Like, Trent was just hacking at balls up the line. Yeah. Hacking at them. And we were just giving the ball back to them. It was like... You don't mind if I'm going to give the ball back to them and say, we're going to see this out. But we're fucking giving the ball back to them and our defence is 30 yards up the pitch.
Yeah. Now, look, I think from 35 onwards, look, maybe you're right and maybe I have a point as well. I just felt that our levels dropped and gave them a sniff. And then on top of that, we didn't manage what they tried to do then because they got a little bit of a hint of a chance. Kev, we get to half time and it's 0-0 and... Or not 0-0, it's 2-0 to Liverpool. We haven't conceded. And if like Shani said, if we hold on to that ball, if we pass that around for another 10 minutes, they come out the second half and they're going, we can't get near this. Like, we literally can't get near this. They're not giving the ball away. And on 55 minutes, we're probably scoring a third instead of them getting back into it. But they do get back into it, Kev. And, like, let's be honest about it. This high line that they talk about, I don't mind it. I actually don't mind it. But I think you have to react differently in different situations. I.e., you see a fella going, run with him. If you know he's going to be offside, fine, hold the line. But if you, for any reason, think this guy's running in behind you, you go with him. And I don't give a fuck what the other three say. And we got caught because we stood high and a fella ran from deep and no one went with him. And nobody tried, attempted or made any decision. And that's probably where it comes down to, Kev. It's more decision-making than the high line itself.
Well, I'm fairly convinced that Virgil didn't see him. He was looking at the guy in front of him, thinking, right, he's going to be the runner. He didn't see the guy that was coming in behind him.
Yeah.
And whether there was a shout that should have came or whatever. I'm happy with the high line. I think you can't play that line high enough. Like, it's both sides. I think I was looking at the stats earlier on. Virgil's been involved in 11 clean sheets in the league this season. Ederson is the top. Man City have 12 clean sheets, I think. Ederson has 12 clean sheets for Man City. So we've had 11 clean sheets. Alisson's got 10. Kelleher's got 1.
Yeah.
So the high line and the way we play for the vast majority of the season is absolutely fine. Palace, for all their huffing and puffing, had 5 efforts on goal at home.
Yeah.
On the back of it, we're playing 2 games in 48 hours. With virtually the same 11, the same 72 midfield.
Hours, yeah. Well, just short of 72 hours, yeah.
Yeah, just short of 72 hours. The other thing that we're missing that offers you a massive amount of control is the ability to be able to hit Salah and hit Mane where they can take the pressure off of you 100%. And run the other way.
Yeah.
When you're playing with 3 forwards who come to the ball, that gives you a whole different way that you have to play. Matip did the same thing the other night against Arsenal, by the way. He had a complete brain fart for a couple of wayward passes against Arsenal. And that was a complete brain fart today. It was a nothing pass into an area where he thought Robertson should have been. And he underhit it. And when I go right back to the lineup, I was surprised Konate didn't play. And when I was surprised Konate didn't play for a multitude of reasons, but mainly because of how he played in the second half against Arsenal with the sharpness of his passing and the zip he puts on balls. He doesn't do what Joel did, and Joel's done it a few times. Now, he's an exceptional defender, and I love it when he goes on his runs. He relieves pressure and everything like that, but his passing is soft. and sides are starting to work it out and target the areas of where he passes into. And better sides will pick him off. And I mean, look, the Palace goal was a nice goal and it had been coming and they deserved it. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But the lack of communication, mental fatigue, physical fatigue, and there's a panic at knowing the pressure and knowing of where we are in the league and the bigger picture that we can't afford any more fuck ups. How much pressure does that heap on tired bodies, tired minds, that all it takes is one person not to make a shout?
Yeah.
Something stupid.
I think Andy Robertson should go with the player. And I think if he goes with the player, I think Virgil can look at the man that's in front of him and go, right, because he's definitely not laying it off to the guy like he did if Andy Robertson goes with him. And you see, the thing is, if Virgil doesn't see him, Robertson should be looking and saying to him, or not even saying, don't say anything, leave him to it. But I'm dropping in off this back, off this high line, and I'm following this fella. And if the ball goes out for a corner, and they all go, what were you doing there? He go, hold on. He was in, only for I followed him. Because you'll see it loads of times, you know, where a defender drops deep and, you know, a guy goes in behind and a fullback plays him on and he gets a shot away or he scores or whatever it might be. And what happens? They all give out to him because he dropped in deep. But at times you have to. At times you have to drop in deep and say to yourself, listen, I have to take this on my own shoulders here. Drop in deep, make the tackle, and we can talk about it later rather than let him run.
Before we move off that,
well, I'm not really going to move off because I'm going to come.
It's a really good goal.
Yeah, it is.
The pass is excellent and the run is excellent. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we could have done better, but it's a well worked out with Palace, but you will be susceptible to them.
The whole thing about a high line is that you have to have pressure on the ball.
Yeah,
at all times you have to have pressure on the ball. Simple as that. Sean is shown in the green room here. He's not coming in here. He's on mute. This happens to him all the time. We get him back in now. But the thing is, it has to be pressure on the ball. And we'll talk about the high line in a bit of detail in a minute. The Gods of Sports had a breakdown. He says 383 people watching, 110 likes. It's disgraceful. These guys devote so much time and energy into these amazing videos every day for us for free. Hit the damn like button at least. Yeah, listen, there's 400 watching, 138 likes. Hit the like button, please. And somebody says they're 20 short of 12,000 subscribers. That's news to me, so fair play to you. If there's 20 people in here that haven't subscribed, hit it and we get over 12k before we leave tonight, if that's all right with you. Let me see now. I'll get Shawnee in. Still Sean. I don't know what he's done. Can you hear us, Shawnee? He can't, but he's muted. Let me see.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'll change it over now, Sean. I'll get you sorted. Keith, I'll sort this while you're talking.
Yeah.
It goes 2-1, and I have to be honest with you, Keith, my head nearly fell off. What were you like?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of them. You know, as we said, the first half is dying out, and Palace are getting a couple of chances. But I thought we started the second half okay. I thought we were sort of getting at them, and it's like, okay, we'll get back on this and then we just drop it again. But the goal comes. And again, I suppose when you look back at a match now after watching it, you'll see it totally differently. But like the crowd at Selhurst Park, I think is always a very, it's a good crowd. They're always singing. They're always bouncing. They're always getting the team up. And we gave them an opportunity to bounce. We gave them what they needed to get into it and lift their team, you know. And when they lift the team, they're a decent side. I think Sean, you might have touched on it. Like, they're a good team, Palace. And we gave them that and they scored. But then, like, I had the misfortune of hearing Jamie Carragher and the other fella talking today. And it was nearly like, you know, willing on the Palace goals. And, you know, there was a sense of, this is inevitable.
It was actually atrocious, wasn't it?
I was unreal. It was unbelievable. And look, and people will give out. People will moan on this run. They'll say, oh, giving out about Carragher, he's a Liverpool. I don't care. Don't give a shit. He is absolute terrible, terrible commentator and pundit. Unfortunately, I just cannot take the fella serious now. And I just thought today was absolutely bleeding terrible. But I don't know who the other fella was, Bill Leslie maybe. I don't know who it was that was on the commentary team with him. Like they were getting excited and cheering, and then it adds to the spectacle then, you know, because Palace get that goal and it's, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's Chris Danbull, you know, all this shite that you get you get blown. Oh,
he's a completely company man now. He's a total
jobber already.
You know, he has the cert at home on the wall and everything now at this stage.
Yeah. Great player for us, a legend, don't get me wrong. No, I'm not Sky have
definitely sent him a bit of crystal and a certificate. There's no doubt about it.
100%.
But yeah, my head goes, Keith, and I want to talk, let's talk about the high line, because I give you the full shout on it. Right. What are your thoughts on this high line? Because it seems to come up every so often. In 18-19, we played a high line. I think 19-20, you might have seen us, or maybe last season, at the start of the season, people said, we're going a yard or two higher again here. You know, and it was talked about, and Klopp came out and talked, might have been last season, actually. Klopp talks about it, Linders talks about it, and they're like, yeah, we can go as high as we want. Once we do our job further up the pitch, we're fine.
That's the key. That is the key.
Keith, we can bash defenders all day, and I'm not saying Van Dijk is at 100%. I'm not saying Matip was really good. Trent did look tired. I thought Robertson was quite good today. Yeah. But when you don't have pressure on the ball, combined with what Kev just said, threats in behind from other teams that they don't want to lose the ball and be hit really quick, it's very hard to play that high line. And that's probably where it comes back to game management, where you go, look, Virgil and Matip turn around to the two boys each side and go, they're not pressing. We're dropping fucking 10. All right. Until they get their acting gear, we're dropping 10. But how you like it, do you? You like that whole line?
Yeah, look, well, it's dependent on the front. The forwards have to be doing it. It has to start from the top. And that's when we were so good, when Bobby was doing it and Mo and Sadio were doing it. Because then the midfield can push up for that and the defence can push up for that. And you have quick defenders with that bit of recovery pace. What we saw today was Liverpool playing a high line. And Palace had players having the ball. Joachim Anderson, I think, does he play the ball for the goal? Or he's involved in it?
He plays the one that goes over the top for the lob.
Yeah, Elise, was it?
Yeah.
But there's nobody near them. Do you know what I mean? Like, those Liverpool players are too far off him. So if it won't work. You'll be caught out with it all the time if you're not doing it from the front three. The front three are key to playing a high line, because the whole thing has to work. You know, we have a good defence. 9 times out of 10, chances that are going beyond that high line, and if they go in, they'll be flagged for offside. When they look, even if they get away with it, when they don't, just because they don't flag, they're like, oh, there's a chance. But when you look at it, if it goes in, VAR will rule it out. Liverpool are excellent. They're fucking excellent at it. The amount of chances every game that they do when they catch teams with that high line. But you have to do it from the whole team. And if the front three aren't doing it, never mind the midfield three, the front three have to be doing it. It has to start up there. And then it goes back into the midfield three who push up. And then the defence push up. And you're squeezing. Sean, you said it there. You have to squeeze it. It has to be like a vice grips. You put pressure on their centre-backs, their full-backs. You're forcing them into mistakes. Then they're just hoofing shit. You know what I mean? You can't let them pass. There's a difference between a 40-yard pass and a hoof that's aimless. We were letting Palace pass the ball and other teams into the channels. They always target Trent, so we know that, but we're allowing them to do that. We shouldn't be giving them that opportunity. When we were at our best, Bobby was in, especially Bobby. Jota is good at it as well. They were in the face of them defenders. You cut off passing lanes, press, and they don't know where to go. And that's just where we're a bit lacking at the moment. But I just think, my take on it is, after the international break, hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to get a lot of bodies back, and that'll allow us, you know, Thiago will come back into that team, fingers crossed, and that'll give you a bit more control, as Sean, you said, in the midfield. You'll get Mo and Sadio, obviously, he'll be back in. You get Harvey Elliott back. You know, you'll get these players coming back that will give us the options that we can maybe work it a bit better, because I thought Bobby was good today. Certainly in the first half, I thought he was excellent, but we didn't have that pace. Do you know what I mean? So the high line, and we weren't putting the pressure on them up top. I just thought it was maybe a bit of a disaster. But the one thing I will say is, teams, managers now, and this sort of comes from Pep, and other coaches as well, they have a plan. And you'll see it in other sports, American football and all as well. They have a plan. and they'll stick to it. They won't go. They won't deviate from that plan. They won't be reactive. So if we're getting, obviously, if we're getting lashed over with the Hoyland, Klopp isn't going to let that go on. But if we're only getting one or two every few weeks where we're getting caught with it, Klopp will be like, okay, that's working. In the main, that's working.
Yeah.
They're not going to say drop back. I've seen someone said, oh, can we say, you know, get Sammy Hippie or Jamie Carragher in as a defensive coach?
Sammy Hippie and Jamie Carragher never played a line like that in their lives.
Yeah, but that I think that the fact was that they can learn to defend.
The last time they were that far forward, we had a fucking corner, I'd say. You know, yeah.
This is half their problem when they're watching games.
It's completely alien to them.
But I think that the chap was trying to say that, you know, they'll teach them to defend deeper, but we don't want to defend deeper. Klopp doesn't want to defend deeper. They play percentages because before they are up, you're forcing mistakes.
Yeah, and what happens is when you're deeper, it makes the pitch bigger, which leaves more space for teams to get in around certain areas that Klopp just doesn't like them being in. You know, the sort of way. Daddy Pig says the Hoyland will kill us against top teams. Imagine Usman Dembele beating the Hoyland. Who's catching him? Well, imagine Usman Dembele being on a pitch for a fucking start.
Yeah. Let's imagine him not being in a wheelchair.
Try imagine the Hoyland. Shawnee, the Hoyland is there, and Keith has a point with regards to it starts from the front. I get that. But if you watch Liverpool play, they lull you in. I think the front three are used more to trap you. And what I mean by that is they position themselves in certain ways where sometimes they will go. You've seen them before, Shani. They'll all go together. And when they go, teams don't know what they're doing. They're kicking balls out for corners and all sorts. It causes a bit of mayhem. But usually what they do is they position themselves in a way where they're forcing a pass into a certain player. And that player might be a holding midfielder or wherever it'll be, and then bang, we're on them in midfield. I think the bigger issue isn't the front. I think it's the two lads ahead of Fabinho that's the problem when it comes to the high line. I don't think there's enough there. What do you think? Shawnee's gone again. Okay. Kev, I'll put it to you.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. The amount of games that Henderson has been playing, and Jones were only back from injury, you know, it's always going to tell. And, you know, I think Jordan Henderson is at the case now where his mind knows what he wants to do, but his body won't let him. And you can see him trying to do what he wants to do, but he's always a half yard off. And the longer the games go, it's almost like a frustration when you're watching him at the minute. But all in all, look, we gave up virtually no chances against Arsenal. Arsenal had 20 minutes of dominance and that was it. You know, they didn't really get much out of it. Palace, yeah, it turned into a scraggy game, but I wasn't that nervous about it, you know, because Alisson made some very good saves, but in general, I wasn't that worried. You know, I'm not overly concerned at the minute with the way that we're defending. These are good sides, littered with good players. They're going to work chances, and they're going to create opportunities for themselves. But more often than not, we're seeing them out. We don't give up that many clear-cut chances in games, full stop. You know, you'll get off half chances now and again. You might lose your goal here and there. But in general, we've been defending okay in the last, especially since the lads went away. And like I said before, the guys who are gone, what they offer you going the other way is a release valve as well as the triggers for presses, the traps that they set, the fact that they know how to do it and they've been doing it for a long time. And midfielders can read what they're trying to do without even talking. You know, and you don't get that when you're throwing another player into the mix. Ox is a midfielder. You know, yeah, he did a job out in the right wing today and he got another goal. Good. But he's not a right winger. And it's an alien position for him. And it's like throwing a spare part into a machine that shouldn't really be there, but it'll do a quick fix for you. You know, you get away with it for a certain length of time, but in the long term, it'll cost you. So having the lads back when we come back, it offers you options. The fact that Jordan Henderson might only play one game a week rather than having to play 3 and 7, you know, or 4 and 8, whatever it was. You know, this is a needs must type of thing, getting over this hump for the last few weeks. But I'm pretty certain that by the time they come back, everyone is back fit. I don't think we're going to have any, off the top of my head anyway, any serious injury problems for
No, I was thinking that by the time we get back, if we get through the Cardiff game, looking into the next league game, and Thiago is available, like Klopp said he is, we're only missing Divock Origi out of fourth team squad going into what would be the
middle of February. And he was only a knock.
Well, apparently. I don't know what knock. He must have got a knock of a fucking car or something. You know what I mean? People can get knocks. He must have got a, I don't know what the fuck. He must have got a bang of a Volvo estate or something because he's fucking gone missing. It's like the time Lovren. Do you remember Lovren got a knock against Wolves?
He was out for
6 months. So don't give me all that knock shit. Shani, are we over kind of egging this high line thing?
Absolutely.
Because let's be honest, we've had a lot of games. We've had a bit of disruption over games on, games off. We've had League Cup semi-finals. We play on Thursday night, less than 72 hours ago. It's the same team, more or less, again, bar two changes, as we said. And we just kind of go, like, Mark Ace's Palace battered us from 35 minutes onwards. I don't think they battered us, but I think they were well more in the game from 25 minutes on than they were in the first.
They were in the ascendancy, but
yeah, they were.
They remained out of the game.
And they loaded their bench in a way where you knew AU, Benteke and Eze were coming on. Yeah, that's what you knew they were going to do. Is it just a case of, Shani, when all said and done, we're all delighted with the win, but is it just a case, Shani, where you just turn around and go, look, yeah, the high line this and that, but listen, we played fucking 50, 60 hours ago.
Absolutely.
We're in a final, we've 3 points, the gap is now 9 with a game in hand, and we have a sniff and just keep going, leave it at that.
Yeah, look, I don't think the high line is, it's not going to cause us issues going forward. My only gripe would be, I'd like to see us kind of change our approach when we have leads. A bit better with the ball, more ball retention. Just taking the sting out of games. That's all you have to do. Like Keith said, you give them, they had been getting chances. I know they're all talking about getting in behind, but the thing is with that getting in behind, all it takes is one well-timed run. So they know, look, we're playing that one well-timed run and you're one-on-one with Alisson, who's the best one-on-one goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah.
You don't give them belief, especially away from home. You're 2-0 up, you take the sting out of the crowd, you get into half-time 2-0, which we did. Now, in fairness, if you had went in at 2-0, you couldn't have had any fucking grief.
But if you'd have went in at 4-0, you couldn't have had an argument either.
Exactly, and that's the thing, Gav, I love the football, but the helter-skelter show has to go because it's not sustainable.
No.
That's what kills me. I just rather say, when we're 2-0 up, put your foot on the ball, start moving it around, take them out, make them walk. Because we made rods for our back towards the end of that game, and we got out of a hole with an epoxy refereeing decision, if I'm being honest, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We'll come on to that in a minute.
And that gives us... I'm not going to say a get out of jail card, but you can't turn around and say they didn't give us any problems and Alisson was our man in the match, because they clearly did. You know what I mean? He makes some mental saves. The one from the back heel is stupid good.
Yeah.
The
one from the lob is unbelievable.
It's one of them that happens in FIFA and you're going, when have you ever seen that in your fucking life?
Yeah, the one from the lob is sensational.
That's practicing against Bobby, that is. He's got Bobby in training.
The back heel one is sensational.
He just reads the back heel one where he just goes, I'm just going down here.
He can't do anything else.
Because the thing is, if Edward turns and puts it in the far corner,
every other he's position lying on the ground like a sap. There's always a disparity in a really good footballer and a world-class footballer. But it's even more so highlighted in a really good goalkeeper and a world-class goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And he is fucking out of this world. And that's why you don't see anybody going over the top when he makes a bollocks of it the way he did at Spurs.
Yeah.
You just know that in over 28 games in a season, when you're totting up, look, who's goals, assists, this and that and all, you're saying to yourself, Alisson got us the points today.
There's not a keeper in that league I'd have before.
It's the making the extraordinary look ordinary. He gets down to that back heel and he's up again. It's ridiculous. And it's not even his best save, the one from the lob. But you could see today he was kind of looking around going, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, and you know what it is? It always seems to be when he grows his hair a bit longer, he looks a bit fucking bedraggled, a bit windswept and interesting.
Yeah, there was...
When he started playing that high line...
I got Siri... I got Sarah's playing Rocky Four in the Caucasus Mountains vibes today.
Yeah, he
looked a bit dishevelled. But
he was like, do you remember in the Breaking Bad sequel?
Yeah, when Walt shows up.
No, we're not in Walt. When
the man all over the place.
No, watch a man that was in the pit. What was his name? Jesse.
Jesse, yeah.
Yeah, when he goes in to have a shower and he looks in a jocker after he goes back to his mate's gaff, that's what Allison's like.
It's brilliant today, and you know what? I'm just all the shite about Salah and all moving on. Like, he's the most irreplaceable player in that team. There's fucking loads of players around Europe who'll score goals in their system. Not to say let go of Salah. Not to say that. But just in terms of
game, I don't know where you find a goalkeeper like him.
In terms of game changing goalkeepers, it's just like he's the complete opposite of Ramsdale, who makes all of these fancy. Yeah. He makes the easy saves look fancy, but when it comes to the stupid stuff, he just doesn't do it. But
yeah, Alisson's not a shot stopper, isn't he? Not like De Gea, even if you use the elite ones, is always on that shot.
Save today when he
smothers things. He's great.
Like, my brother Keith was a goalkeeper, played at a decent enough, played League of Ireland, and he's big on what happens after the save.
Yeah.
And the one from is a Matete in the first half, and he's not just saving it. The ball's out of danger after that. He's
not palming it back.
He's elite. He's elite. You can go on about all the rest of them, De Gea, Edison and all. Look,
two or three keepers in world football. That there's himself, there's Neuer,
Donnarumma probably. Has that in him as well.
Oblak and
Donnarumma, but they're the four that are stand out head and shoulders above.
I wouldn't take any of them above him.
I wouldn't either.
Because if you look at all of those, if you look at the four of them, right, Manuel Neuer would give you bleeding. Showing him riches every time he's running out and trying to beat players. We think Alisson
actually toned down.
Remember
he was chipping her over to Brighton.
Yeah, that was great. It's surprising he doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah,
but he does that, and they people go mad. Oblak is a great keeper, but he's playing in the most defensive fucking team in Europe. Do you know what I mean? Where they're sitting back and he'll pull off saves when they're needed. And Ederson is the best probably distribution of a goalkeeper. You know, he fucking booms that ball up the other end, but for what we want, I think Alisson is perfect, you know, because he's not going to be getting peppered with shots, and we don't get peppered with shots even today. Like,
yeah, but his position,
reaction is the best in the world.
What you said
is so good. The rails are actually different for him. The thing that wrecks my head watching other Premier League games, for example, the lad Sanchez off Brighton, he comes for everything right. As soon as an opposition player touches him, the ref's blowing.
Yeah,
like Ali be getting manhandled, and he gets nothing. You really see always getting fouled from opposition corners in our own box because the refs just don't give them that luxury.
Yeah,
it's almost you're good enough to deal with that. And he has to put up with that. The prime example is West Ham.
Yeah.
It's West Ham away.
But he tweets about it
all 19 other keepers get fouled for that because his standard is just... And we haven't even granted how good he is with the ball at his feet. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's a difference, a real, real difference maker. And honest to God, I'm so glad he's ours
I wouldn't take any other goalkeeper over. And it's because what Keith said there. You'll see De Gea make outstanding saves as a shot stopper. I think De Gea is fucking phenomenal, right?
Yeah, really.
But I think he looks phenomenal because his positioning isn't as good as Alisson. Alisson makes the ridiculous look easy. And what I mean by that is, there was one against, I want to say Arsenal. It might have been Lacazette late in the game or Anfield in the league. And Liverpool are 3 up at the time. And he turns and he goes to put one in the top corner. And any of the keepers throwing himself full length, like little arms across the park is fucking, you know what I mean? There's no point in them jumping. And Alisson's position is just literally a case of, I'm going to take one half step here, put my hand up and help her over the bar. And his positioning is exquisite. Like Emma Kavanagh says, I was sitting with an ex-pro today watching the game. He said Alisson is unreal. His positional sense is top quality. His starting position is always on point and he makes things look easy.
I fully agree with that because he's only having to take one step or a half step before he has to do something.
Yeah. He's not taking two and three and diving. It's
the game at the Emirates the other night would suggest that why Queevy and Kelleher is in the right place, because it's saved from Lacazette's free kick, which is literally, and he's there, you know what I mean? And that shows he's learning. Like,
and he's not running across the goal, Shani. He's taking one step and putting his hand up.
Scampering.
You could have had every other keeper in the net today. Robbo heads one back, but he recovers. He's so quick. Yeah. Where he knows he can recover, whereas 9 times out of 10, that goes in behind your keeper, and it nearly did. Like, he's honestly, he's as high as standard as a goalkeeper as you can get, and today is when it shows up. Like, there's no point to being in De Gea saving 30 shots a game. Like, you need to be, when you've had nothing to do for 90, or otherwise, you have to make the big one. Like, that Edouard, I still can't get my head around, though, because 90% of other strikers are trying to get turned on that and just slice at it, and you're 5 yards out, but he tries to be a little bit of ingenuity, and he doesn't just get down to it. He holds on to it.
Yeah.
Look, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
it's actually ridiculous. Liverpool make it 3-1, and there's a lot of controversy over this one, but Kev, I'll come to you, because the ball from Trent Alexander-Arnold is absolutely outrageous. Literally out of his feet and bang. There's no curl on it. There's no kind of, it's lobbing it. He missiles this thing at Jota, who takes the touch, pushes it past the keeper. And then this is where the controversy comes. Is it a penalty? Is it not a penalty? A, how good was the ball? And B, is it a penalty, Kev?
The ball was outrageous. I mean, I thought the one for Joss's goal against Arsenal was ridiculous, because he saw what no one else saw, and he put it inch perfect on his chest. This was just different level again. You're right. The way he hit it was just absolute inch perfect. Was it a penalty? If Palace got that penalty, I'd be throwing remotes at the telly. I'd be horsing remotes and kicking the dog and...
Just as well you were in the pub then watching it. Wasn't your telly.
It wasn't a pen. But I can see why it was given. I can see what, technically, I've seen those given before a few times.
Yeah.
Whether he was going to get the ball or not is irrelevant. Did the keeper stop him from making an attempt to get the ball? Yes. So technically it's a
Does Jota go towards the keeper though?
Well, yeah, he does. He goes into it. He does a pure Suarez.
The best bit about the pass is Carragher going, oh.
Yeah.
Carragher going, yeah. Oh, wow.
Here we go. against you, you're fuming.
But we have been given shit like that against us on the regular, you know what I mean?
Sean
Swain in the Super Chat says, absolutely a pen, took him out.
No, surely he's no control over the ball. What can the keeper do? He can't disappear. He came together.
If that's a defender in the corner, body checks him, runs into him, it's a foul. So, you know, that way you can understand. Oh, you don't. It's soft, because is he going to get the ball? Well, he doesn't put much on it. The ball.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Now.
Where do you get the ball? Yeah. Doesn't matter.
It's one of them. I mean, it's soft as fuck. You know, if that goes against us, we're all going mad about it. But we've had the Calvert-Lewin one going against us.
We've had
the fucking Ashley Barnes one that went against us. The Danny Welbeck one. You remember all these little scaldy, scutry penos? And you just have to suck them up.
Tell it, that's Mo Salah he's not getting.
Oh, yeah. No, or Sadio.
But Jota definitely goes into the keeper.
Yeah.
It was just a very slight, subtle change of body shape.
Whoa.
Make sure that he was going to get
I genuinely was surprised.
As soon as he doesn't give it, and then they ask him to go to the screen.
Once they start checking for an offside, I knew.
Yeah, then you know.
Right, that's it. That's a goal. That's a penalty now, because they're looking to rule this out. Can we cancel this penalty now with offside?
Yeah. When I've seen it again, it looks like to me that Jota's trying the same finish, the little dink, and it's a bad touch, and the ball gets away from him. So that's where I'm thinking, he has no real control of the ball. I don't.
Yeah, but the control actually doesn't matter anymore now. What they look for now is if you take a touch in the box, right, and he hits you.
It is
you.
A contact sport, though.
Yeah, no, it is. But you see, the thing, it's a contact sport to a point. But like, let's be honest about it. If that's a defender, I think we look at it differently than when it's a goalkeeper. You know,
yeah, well, look, I'm okay. If that happens to us, I'm pulling.
Oh, absolutely going fucking mad. But that's the way. Yeah. That's, you just have to take it. I personally don't think it's a penalty. I think what he probably should have just given a goal kick, and even when he's called over, he goes, look, he's knocked it past him. It doesn't. I know he's collided with him, but he's moved towards him. No,
yeah. The argument is, did Jota initiate the contact, and you could make that argument very easily.
Yeah,
you know. But at the same time, when you have it going with you, thank you very much. 3-1 and breathe.
Yeah, I think Jay Whelan's spot on. He says Jota leaned into the keeper to make contact, never a pen, but I'll take it all day. I think that's
exactly. Players have been doing that for years. Steven Gerrard made a living out of bleeding, leaving a leg to get a penalty. You know, players have done that for a long time.
I believe you call that when you're in English, clever centre forward play.
Exactly, yeah. I seen it in Spurs game today. They were talking about Harry Kane being clever again, doing something. Yeah. You know, but other players don't get the same
treatment. He was just pushing fellas.
Yeah, but can I have another dig at Carragher again? Because I seem to be anti Jamie tonight. He was going on like as if, you know, Liverpool have robbed Crystal Palace here and they've got a penalty to win the game. It was fucking 3-1. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were winning the game. It was like the giving that penalty sucked the chance of a grandstand finish for Sky out of the, you know, out of the chances of it happening. Liverpool, like, I felt fairly comfortable. I know no one else will agree, but it goes in. It's a soft penalty. It's a soft, soft penalty. We
you
know
felt
that.
Comfortable watching that game.
Yeah, as it went on, it was like,
fuck off, really, somewhere.
No, it was the same, but then again,
I didn't think Palace were going to score. That's what I didn't think. Palace were creating enough chances.
Yeah, but you have to understand, Sean, you weren't giving up
clear cut chances. The Elise one was the only one.
You have to peeling my skin like an orange. Hold on, Johnny.
You have to understand, though. Look, Keith's watching this game today, and we're happening to meet Love during the week. Everything else is pale and insignificant.
I was only back from Spain as well.
You know what I mean? So, we'll do a tribute to Meat Loaf in a few minutes. But look, Shani, go on, I'll come to you. Fabinho on penalties for the rest of his life, I'm all up for it.
Yeah, 100%. Anyone who's not a left footer, really, to be honest with you.
Not your bag at all, are you?
Look, it's like playing that line out of the van. He takes all of Arsenal penalties. No, he doesn't. He's fucking shite. Like, he's the first one to go up every time for me. He's a new Milner in terms of that role. It's just, he side-foots the ball with such pace.
Yeah. And he's watching where they're going, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Keepers, I don't think keepers have it. I think it's like this new skill technique of penalty takers where he's waiting for the keeper to make his decision for him because he scored a couple now and I don't think he's put either of them in the same spot.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't remove him for him. Only in the off chance it might help Salah sign a contract.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to. Yeah.
Or,
I don't think you're getting more off pence. Sorry, I'd be amazed.
It bodes well if you go to a shootout. Yeah. We do have some really handy takers because and it's good. Like that's one thing that we were kind of a big thing we were thinking about when this small block of AFCON games come around was where the goals were going to come from. And himself and Oxlade-Chamberlain have chipped in.
Yeah, four for
Fabinho. Jota's done his part.
Yeah.
Tacky's got a few. And
two FA and two Cup for Ox.
And Ox as well. So, look, that's the prime example of people in your squad stepping up when called upon and needed. And it's a brilliant penalty. And I know Keith said he wasn't, but I, it was one of them things. When I knew it was a penalty, I said he's going to bury this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I thought
Keith was clearly just hung over from a flight back from Spain.
He's got a great record.
I was genuinely sitting there going, my head was falling off. I was like, if we can see it here, I'm gonna lose the. And all, I'm
I just didn't think
about
they were
scene.
Creating it.
It doesn't
didn't
matter.
Even eat dinner after
it
the
doesn't
game.
Matter if they're creating or something. All it needs is one ball in and Ben Teke to get a loaf on it, and anything can happen. You know the sort of way. It's not how much they're creating. It's just a case of it's still only one goal and there's still fucking five.
I know one can happen with one goal. But you know when sometimes you can sense when a goal is coming when they're just putting constant pressure on you around the box.
Yeah, I don't be too uncomfortable in that case. I'm more uncomfortable when it's like I can't see a goal coming for the other team and then something fucking happens. Like Matip just closes his eyes and swings his foot around and sends it across a box. That's where it upsets me. Anybody going to disagree with... Alisson Becker as man of the match. Put your hand up now if you disagree. No hands up. Man of the match. Yeah. Shani?
Oh, yeah.
Nah, Jesus. Like, go on all day about.
You'd be so fucking easy, wouldn't you, to say something
yeah,
else?
Yeah, you want to be a fucking clown. Yeah. The most Alisson, like, he's fucking deadly. He's deadly. Like, I'd never watch compilations of a goalkeeper on YouTube, but when he is finished, I will be watching his because he's deadly.
On your own.
Well, you're not going to watch a compilations of
and I love
balled out the top corner. That's the amazing thing, you know.
Klopp says, so well done today. You saved me arse and saved their arse. And he turns down. He was like, that's my job. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the mentality. And
business
that's exactly what you need. Like, he's a killer. And he's fucking gorgeous as well, which always helps.
Does he always wear the black, or is that only the away keepers' kit? Because he looks bleeding great in them black kits.
Yeah, I'd say that's
all the time.
You know what? We didn't have many black goalkeeper kits before he came in, but I think that must be something in his contract that he has a say about what colour he's wearing.
I think.
Yeah.
I think I remember one. Did Brad Jones wear one?
Carius had one on in the final, but he's not a goalkeeper.
And the last ones going back, the last ones I can remember was David James in the mid-90s, but they had these kind of mad squares on them. Do you remember them?
Yeah. I don't know what it is, though. Like, the all-black kit just makes him look like
the
John Wick
going
around. He's like John Wick going around the gaff.
That's exactly what he's like. He is John Wick, and he's just getting so offended. He's literally going around as if someone's killed his dog.
Yeah,
them boys today. That look after the old East chance was like, you fucking pricks.
Yeah,
you absolutely
sort yourselves out. I'm just going to
I have a pain.
Hook him, fellas.
I have a pain in my bollocks. My back is. He says I'm nearly at the break of my shoulder off the goalpost. You want to get your fucking hand out your arses.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
was deadly.
Anyway, man of the match. We're absolutely fine with Alisson. Go on, I'll ask it. Kev, I'll come to you first. Is the title race still alive, or are we just kidding ourselves?
Yeah, we're still clinging on to it. But all it takes now is, well, look, all we can do is our part. That's all we can do. We win our games in hand. If we, unfortunately, it's going to be an if. Win our games in hand, go to the Etihad, beat
one game now.
Yeah, game in hand. Go to the Etihad, beat them, and they're capable of losing to anyone. It's in them. If sides are brave enough to play the 4-4-2 and have a right go at them, take their chances when they come. It's all we can do is win our games. Is it gone? No, it's far from gone. But we're the only ones who can put them who can give them any bit of a trouble. No one else. There's no one else in this race.
Yeah.
No, Chelsea and everyone else have gone out of it, and they know it as well.
Keith, is it still alive? What's the story? Are you still on the train with me? I'm on the bus.
Oh, 100%, I'm on the train and the bus and everything else. Because, look, I've always felt that you have to be in with a chance. And, you know, the gap was the gap. And it's still a gap, right? It's still a gap. And we have to beat Leeds at home. Is the game in hand, isn't it? And we have to really, realistically, we have to beat them.
You have to beat them.
And if that happens, then you're talking about a 3-point
gap.
With
14 left.
I mean, I think City are an amazing side. We all sort of do. We all know. We're not talking about a normal team. We're talking about one of, if not the most elite Premier League team of all time. And the only ones that can put the frighteners on them is us. So if we can win, like today was huge. They dropped
points. If you took us out of this league, you should close it down. Because there's no fucking point, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. But even they dropped points yesterday to get that win.
What the Premier League is.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing.
Right.
To get that win today when they've dropped points was huge, because if we'd have anyway slipped up today and got a draw, that would be it. There'd be no chance then, because they've got away with them.
Yeah.
The fact that we were able to put that marker on them today means we've really put ourselves in a chance. But it all depends, and I know we've said it before, Sean, you say it 100 times, Man City are capable of going on a 14-15
game winning run. They
absolutely could. And
there's not, we can do it. There has to be a jangler now. Like, if they start,
Kieran B said he's sitting up the front of the bus, right? Red Steve said, I'll drive the bus. I'm not driving, I'll be on the cans. But Sean, I'm going to test your age now. Do you remember on the buses where you used to go up the front? On the double deckers,
and you can look down the driver.
Look down
head.
At the driver.
Yeah.
Will you be on the bus for us doing that, or will you be on the side of the pack waving and us going, "You are a pack of spas"?
I'll be on top of the bus on the outside.
Yes, you will.
No clothes on.
Go on.
Like somehow Mad Max and a guitar in my hand.
Is it still on, Sean? Are you giving us a bit?
It's still a huge ask. We need another swing, and I still feel we need to be perfect. The big thing for me is I look today, we remarked upon it earlier, that we're going to kind of have a full-strength squad now after this little break.
Yeah.
And as long as we can keep City honest. Now, if this is another year and we are a bit closer, I would probably be able to tell you the days that we play before City and when they play after us. And that will be a factor, because we've got to keep them honest. Yeah. And someone made a great point there. It's up to us now to kind of create chaos in this league and make them put pressure on them to be good, because they could have been easily turned over last night, and they weren't, to be fair. They do drop points, but the main thing is, it doesn't give a fuck what I say. It doesn't matter. That's just the truth. I'm on here just giving an opinion. The main thing is that squad of 22, 23 players and all of the staff will still believe they have a chance. And that's the main thing, because what I say on here won't affect the outcome of a title race. We just got to keep them honest for as long as we can, and need others to do our job. Like, there's this scenario of people saying Villa is going to be, if we get to the last day of the season and we can win the league, this is a fucking good season, in my opinion. That's just
City's next game is at home to Brentford the day before we play Leicester, and then they are away.
Well, that's the psychology of it. They have a nice game against Brentford, who I've gone to show you, and then we have Leicester, you know what I mean? So you have to get over these hurdles.
They're home on the Wednesday, the 9th of February, they're home to Brentford. We're home to Leicester the night after. On Saturday, the 12th of February, they're away to Norwich, and we play away to Burnley the following day. And then it's the following week, we play at home to Norwich, and they host Spurs. So Liverpool need to be looking to win the next two, and then seeing if Spurs can do something against City where we host Norwich. That's just the way it is. We're going to start looking them up. But
it's going to get like that after.
It is, I said it. The first one to slip, the first one to make an error. If City do it, it's over. If City do it, we've a sniff. We've got ourselves running six. If we win that game in hand, we have to go and win it head to head, regardless of what happens, right? For me. Yeah. But if City were to slip again and we were to capitalise and go within four of them going into the Etihad, it's game ball. You know what I mean?
Then absolutely, You know, because what I mean? There's going to be loads of it's probably now, where there's two games a week.
And I've said it last week, the next slip is probably what defines it. I was wrong. It's probably the next one from today. And it's probably going to be like that. It's probably going to be like that until Liverpool have the chance to go within 2 points of City. And then someone slips and see how it goes. But we're still
because then you're bringing draws into it. Then and we say it all the time, a draw is like a defeat now. In this
and here I know draws can do.
You need three points, and if you can get City to within a point in a stage where draws are now go from, then you put the pressure on. That's our Rocky Four back again. You know, when Drago gets caught, if we can bleed and bloody their nose, they could go
I'm well up for it. I think we beat Leicester, I think we beat Burnley, and then I think we beat Norwich. So we're putting 9 on the board, and let's see what City can put on. That's the way I'm looking at it. We need 9. There's no, if we draw another game, we're gone. That's the way I look at it.
But the key is getting these players back, because we've said it if we can get Thiago back into that strength. Midfield, if we get Thiago, and I tell you who we could do with, Sean, he's gone in, is he?
We're all getting horny again.
Oh, mad horny.
Big mad horny as, because I'm going to turn that Kate into the mix.
Who was it? Who sang the song Horny? I'm going to see if I can get a version of it as the intro to this show. If Liverpool keep winning and City don't.
I'll play it on the tin whistle.
Yeah. Do you know what's going to be big? Like, there's going to be, literally, I reckon, from the end of February on, there will be nobody's going on holidays in the Premier League this year.
Yeah.
No.
In March, April, or May. No. Nobody is going on holidays because it's
well, only definitely, they've about fucking 11 games to play to catch up.
Yeah, it's literally it's bottlenecked on both ends, sort of.
Yeah.
Apart from, it's like an hourglass.
Yeah.
That's basically what the league is like.
Yeah.
Like, if you're too close to the mid table, you could end up in the bottom. And if you're pushing up, you could end up in Europe. There's just there's so much to play for now. And there's some mad results, like, in, even in the bottom half. So they're all going to be playing each other. So there's going to be no gimmies.
There's
zero gimmies left. And Sky might actually get the fucking season that they were counting around December.
Well, we'll see. But I'd love it to go down to the last day of the season.
I'm sorry, Gav. I can't help but have it on in the background here. But Tom Brady is going to do it again. And if he does, it's just stupid. I honestly, I'm sick of him.
Well, listen, we get through this as quick as we can, right? We want to tell people that this show is dedicated to Meatloaf, who sadly passed away during the week. People think that's weird, but it's not, because we constantly always talk about 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad being a massive karaoke hit. It's Keith Chewin. Paradise by the Dashboard Light is another one that we would throw out there on a karaoke night. So we just want to say, you'd be missed. Meatloaf will be missed. But the last thing I want to talk about is Failicon, who is our charity partner. Now, if you're watching now, don't go away. There's nearly 500 is watching there.
Yeah.
Do not go away. Stay where you are, please. Hit the like button, because there's about half of you have hit the like button. All right. But Failicon, as people may or may not know, is our charity partner. It's a charity that looks after bereaved parents who've lost children during pregnancy or shortly after pregnancy. They were formed by a group of bereaved parents who got together and started this charity, which is phenomenal on its own. You know, I couldn't imagine going through that, but then having the strength to go and form a charity to help others is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So make sure that you please look in the show description. You will see the link to their website. You can have a look of exactly what they're all about and exactly what the money we're trying to raise can do for them. And also there's a link to our donate page there where you can click on it. It takes about a minute to fill out everything you need to fill out, and you can make a donation. And I can tell you, we're about 400 or 500 quid in at the moment, which is good for the first couple of days. And I think that 400 quid will basically look after their helpline for a month or 6 weeks at the moment. So that's how big it is for these people. Keith, you've had a say in it. Kev's had a say in it. So I'm going to leave them to it. Shawnee, you like rallying the troops, just shouting at them until they do stuff that you want them to do. This is a brilliant charity. We're working our bollocks off with this. You know this. Can we do the 10K? Shawnee, what do you reckon? Can we do the 10K?
There's no can we that we have to. I think we will, to be honest with you.
We won't stop if we get to it.
How quickly can we do it?
Gav, I've been involved in this podcast for as long as I can remember. And you're at the coming in now and kind of taking the reins. And ever since, you've always had your heart in the right place in terms of what you do it for and who you do it for. So we had Kane Strong and we had Sienna. So, and I still follow Sienna's mother on Instagram. And you see the positive impact I had, like, you know what I mean? And it made me proud to be part of this, to be honest with you. And when I seen you doing this again, I know you're only doing this to benefit somebody else. There's nothing really in this for you. You look at yourself thinking, right, what can I do? Obviously, we'll have a great day out and we'll enjoy it, but the end goal is to help these people. Now, unfortunately, I've had someone in my family who would be affected by what this charity supports. So it kind of cuts kind of deep a little bit in that sense, where I understand how important there is that there is support for people in times like this. And what you're trying to do, Gav, is it's unbelievable. And you don't ask for much. You hardly ask for anything at all, to be fair. And I think this is huge. And the best part of it is, if you really want to be that involved, there's going to be a time, date and a place where we're all going to be together. Whether you play golf or you don't play golf, we're going to hope to meet some heads from the chair here. Obviously, all the lads from the Trippers will be there. There's going to be prizes on the day.
I'll let you continue now because I'm telling you now, there's listeners playing golf for us. There's listeners coming to have a drink with us that night. Now, numbers are limited because of the area we're going to take up. But, I get nothing out of it. The only thing I get out of it is having to go and buy more pens because I'm constantly writing fucking stuff down, right? But I've never heard of this charity before. It was someone brought it to me, someone belonging to the podcast brought it to me and showed it to me, and I went yes straight away. But it is, it's, I'm being honest with you, Sean, it's the thing that the podcast stands for now. I make no apologies for saying that. People probably think, it's about football and all. Yeah, we talk about football, but I think if we can do good two or three times a year in this sort of way, yeah, that's bigger than football. It's something where you just go, you know what, we're having a good time and we know we have a great community that watch us, and if we can all help out every couple of months.
And this is different from the rest of them, because although like Siena, there's nothing really in it for us, we're going to have a day out here, you know what I mean? And it's all going to be for a good cause, and we're all going to get around, because look, let's be honest, it's been a tough couple of years for everybody.
Yeah.
With all the shite that's gone on, and there's something very liberating about this weekend that it feels like we're getting back to normal. And I feel like this is a massive opportunity for us all to get together. And who knows, we could be fucking celebrating that in June in terms of Liverpool. Could be number 7, it could be number 20, could be a treble, quadruple, it could be fucking nothing. Yeah. But at the end of the day, we're all going to be there together, and it's all for a good cause. So, look, listen, like I said, Gav doesn't ask for much. He hardly asks for anything. The least you can do is, all this content is free. There's about 76 shows a week now.
Yeah,
that's on. He's doing 12 shows a day. It's like playing Sky now. It's 24/7.
What the fuck's going on? I'm lost. My head's all over.
Kay Borley and all. It's going to be doing podcasts next week. We have Gav has Kay Borley and all doing.
Kay Borley's a miserable old fuck. I'm not having a word.
Look, just do whatever you can. Throw your hands in your pockets and throw it to, because it's all going towards this charity and the day out. And I hope to see you all there in June.
Emma Kavanagh says touchdown.
I hate him. He's so good, I hate him.
Yeah, he's fucking great. Bleeding.
If Alex Olivier says Tom Brady is the devil's quarterback.
And a few people have said that with Olivier on this... Reclaimer on this, sorry, he says some merchandise. The thing about merchandise is it costs you money to make it. And then when you actually sell it, you know, you'd have to be selling it at extortionate amounts to make money off it. You know, the sort of way. I will look into it though. Don't get me wrong, I will look into it. If I can get something done up with regards to t-shirts or caps or badges or whatever it might be, I'll see. But to be honest with you, lads, like, a t-shirt would cost us about 12 quid to get. And then we'd have to charge you probably 20 quid for the t-shirt. And that's 8 quid, right? And then you'd need probably 100 people to buy that t-shirt to justify getting that money. You know, the sort of way we kind of have to be careful as to where we point our efforts in this. Yeah. You know, the way, like, the golf day has been... You can't get a spot on it. It's sold out to play. Nearly every hole or every thing that we've asked to be sponsored on the day is nearly gone. I think it's only 4 or 5 slots left. And with regards to the night time and having a drink, you know what I mean? We're just inundated with the amount of people that can come. But if you're interested in coming, let me know. And we'll try to sort something out. But there is limited numbers because of... We couldn't go and book somewhere that would hold 500 people. They won't do it for you if you say, how many have you got? I think there's about 50 at the moment, but I'll see what we can get. You know, the sort of way. But it's a learning curve for us with this. We've done stuff before. We've had live events and stuff, but we've never done anything like this. So it's kind of a learning curve, and we probably try and make it a yearly thing. And next year we could double the amount of players and probably put it in a fixed place where the golf and the entertainment and all is all done in the one spot. But at the moment, the learning curve for us, and the golf day was going ahead regardless. It was just the charity came, was brought to us. We went, yeah, let's put it on this charity. The golf day was just a reason for us to get out, but we've made it into a charity thing as well. So, let's see where we can go. I'll have a look at the merchandise. I'll talk to the lad that does the merchandise for us and we'll see where we go. But please, please, please look at failicon.ie. It's in the show description. It's on our website. Like, if you click lfcdt.com, the first thing that comes up is their website and the link to the donate page. And if we, 10 grand is our target by the 10th of June. If we don't make it by then, we'll just keep going till we get it. Thomas says, Gav, are we having a pistol for Siena, or is that going to be in June with the golf? You did say something to have in January. I will donate either way. Love Meatloaf along with Keith. Thomas, the night out for Siena is a completely different thing. It's a completely different thing. We were looking, but we didn't plan anything for Siena because of the restrictions going on due to COVID. Now, with them being lifted, we can start looking into something for her, but we'd hope to do that maybe February, March time. And if we do, of course, people are more than welcome to come along as well. Archibald says, are you watching this, Shawnee? I presume when he's talking about
Stafford's after launching
I'm not going to lie to you, Gav. I'm so sorry. And I don't mean it with the greatest respect. This is the best phone you can have with Jack Clowes on. It's fucking absolute bonkers.
Well, we'll all head off and do it now. Tarek says, can you do a GoFundMe? Tarek, we haven't used GoFundMe this time. We've used a thing called iDonate. The link is in the description. It's very similar to GoFundMe. You click on it, you put in your information, you tell us how much you want to do, and you do it through that. You can pay via PayPal, card, whatever it might be. Roy, we're out of here. Kev, anything else quickly before we go?
No. All good. Good stuff.
There'll be quizzes and drafts and all coming your way now. Because if we don't play cards until the 6th of February. Keith, anything else before we go?
No. Rest in peace, Meatloaf. Even though he was an anti-vax douchebag, you know, he's still great.
Why did you say that?
Maybe we can talk all night.
All right, you've brought it back. Shawnee, I know you're watching the NFL. You don't give a fuck now at this stage.
He's lost now. I was genuinely convinced that he was the devil. Because how can you be so good looking? How can you get better with age? How can it's like in Breaking Bad, Jesse says, how can you keep getting away with it? It's just, he didn't tonight, thankfully. And it's actually set up to be, it's probably the best NFL season since...
If the Bills can get rid of the Chiefs later on, that's it.
I'm going to watch some NFL, see what's going on. Jay Williams
should be another banger as well.
Yeah. All right, I'll sit down. I have a Cadbury's cream egg and a caramel egg in there, so I'm going to. They're back on the shelves, by the way, just to let people know. I'll be hitting up all my Trippers contacts for a spot on the night out. I have your number, Gav. Do you, Jay? If you have my number, WhatsApp me there, and we'll see if you have it. Because I don't think you have, but if you need it, I'll give it to you. Don't give a fuck, right. That has been it. That has been the Fatback 4. Thanks a million for everyone for joining us. Don't forget to hit the like button on the way out. Subscribe, because someone says we're just about to hit 12K, apparently. Share across your social media. And, of course, don't forget our charity. That's the main thing. Watch if you want. Like us if you want. Share if you want. Subscribe if you want. But please, please, please go and check out that donate link. That has been the Fatback 4. We will be back with you tomorrow with the COP update at 2 p.m. Should be a forum on tomorrow as well. And then we look at the rest of the week, because... it's going to be drafts and quizzes and all. It's going to be great fun for 2 weeks. Can't wait. Talk to you in a bit. Over and out.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.